literally,
hey, Brian,
just,
you're on the record.
I stepped on your line.
That's okay. That's real. That's how things work.
It's authentic. That's how we do it here in After Talk. That's what we do for our bosses.
You, the boss.
Oh man, I'm learning so many tools. Like, I knew they exist. I knew what they do, but now I'm using them, and some of them have changed a lot in the 15 to 20 years.
We used to do BB Live Show entirely you.
And then
using Stickam, right?
that is also true. Stickam was the first one, then Ustream, then Justin.tv, then Justin.tv, and then we went network with Twit, and then Justin.tv became Twitch, and we were banned. We were banned for the crime of not playing video games.
Right, back when they were pure.
Right, and then they said, psych, we're back. It's twitch.tv, and it's like, okay, isn't that just justin.tv? And they're like, I've never heard of one.
I don't know who that is.
And now, yeah. Oh, and then also we had to home roll a number of CDNs along the way in the early days of, remember, Meta CDN and Brick Slap and stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I definitely remember Meta CDN.
Yeah. We've seen some stuff, man.
We've been through it for sure. I trying to remember. I think Stickam might have been the first thing we streamed Buzz Out Loud with. With Buzz Out Loud, it was a camera on every desk in the recording. So we were in this old CNET Radio recording studio. We put a camera on every computer, and we had three Stickam streams. And you would have to decide as a viewer which one. You'd hear all of us on all of them, but you'd only see one of us. And then there was a listener who embedded all three. And you would mute two of them and let the other one go, and then you'd see all three of us as we did the show.
I'm kind of going through a similar moment now, because like Justin, Robert Young, saw like the BBC studio or something. I forget what country. And he was like, hey, there's the thing. All three of these computers, all six of these monitors, all these cameras, just buy this thing. It was like $2,000 or $3,000. And I was like, what? And then, you know, we talked about it. And then I got an email saying, hey, I work in the biz. It really is that easy now. And so now it's like, okay, before I break everything, I must learn everything. All these weak muscles as I, you know, get back to work.
What's the thing? You don't remember what it's called?
ATEM, the Black Magic.
Oh, the ATEM. Yeah, the Black Magic. Yeah, gotcha.
Somebody qualified in the biz was very enthusiastic about it. And so before I even consider, you know, rebuilding everything from scratch, I at least need to know, how's it done now? But it's getting faster. It's getting faster. I at least was able to post both of the episodes. I know that I haven't made it onto the YouTube stuff, but it's like dumb stuff that you, like, I'm dedicating 2 hours a day, like I'm going to the gym. And when the time runs out, I mean, the time runs out. It's like I start getting pulled to other projects and shoots and all that stuff. And as a result, stuff's late. However, I'm almost certain I can post all of my stuff tonight.
Cool. And I'll get the audio stuff up, so that was quicker last week as well. Oh, I do need to check and see if, in fact, where'd it go? Where's my Chrome? I need to check and see if I can still get into the Coin Killers Patreon or not.
I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, you're like, I'm just going to press a button. Oh, the door's locked. You know, and then suddenly 45 minutes has passed, and yes, you found the keys, but now you don't have time to do the thing.
Yep. All right then. Hey, what'd you think of that Rick and Morty episode?
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
I think I watched it, and then I think I went back and rewatched last week's episode because it was so much tighter.
Yeah. I like the afterlife. I like how quickly they got in the afterlife stuff, and I thought that was fun. The Pope was great. That was funny.
That was a bold move to make the Pope an Italian stereotype who is stealing energy from another heaven in order to keep killing. Yeah. Just murdering.
Well, and the sort of mental gymnastics of, we can't kill anyone, but you can.
I mean, that's the most part that tracks for me philosophically with Catholicism.
Yeah.
You know, just finding the technicality.
What was the line too, where he's like, shut up, Morty, that's the B plot. Let's just stick to the A plot.
Sasquatch is a B plot at most, which, as all of the best meta stuff is, it's like that's something he would say whether or not he was aware he was in a cartoon show or not.
Yeah, for sure. And then of course Sasquatch ends up becoming an essential part of the story, to the point I actually really liked the ending where they're throwing rocks at him to drive him into the forest. And he's like, ouch, stop, that hurts. I was kind of hoping maybe I could get a job and settle down. I'm like, no, get out of here.
Well, and part of why that worked so well for me was because, like, they portrayed both Rick and Morty as unironically going through that very difficult letting a dog go moment. And the juxtaposition was,
I mean, amazing. There's multiple movies where someone befriends a wild animal like a bear. And then that's the scene in that Disney movie of like, it's not safe for you to be my friend. Get out of here. Go back to your world. That was chef's kiss, as they say.
Also just the progression and the speed with which they move on quickly, where he's like, I'm Odin, something this, and these are the new rules. And it's like, all right, I made a bunch of commandments. Mostly they're all about don't touch this thing.
Do not touch what was it? I can't remember what it was called. The energy. Like energy but whatever it was called was not like a mystical name. It was just like literally what it was. Do not touch the energy converter. Yeah.
Also, that was an impressive opening where it's like, are they killing?
Right. I almost forgot. Like that was
47 times in order to test his theory, and then he nailed it, and then they high-fived, and then they both full-on died, and Rick was not at all bothered by this. He was annoyed. He just thought to himself, like, that's the character. Rick is so powerful that he's angry that he has to waste time fixing the problem of being dead.
Well, also the fact that Jerry was like talking to his dead mother, and she's like, oh, your father doesn't want to come here anymore, it's just a waste of time, he knows you're just gonna die again.
I forgot. Was Jerry at the opening?
Yeah, it was Jerry at the very beginning. And Jerry was just never talked to again in the entire episode. He was only used to test that situation.
I really like the superposition that Morty is in right now, where it's like, on the one hand, Rick is always going to be, you know, a god trapped in a man's body or whatever. And it's never been proved more than in this particular episode. But Morty is like just a flip-flop between, like, he's so smart that he's able to help Rick defeat death and identify heaven, but so dumb that he falls for a ruse. Ask watch for an emotional play.
He's not dumb. He's what's the word? Not credible, but no. When you're like easily believe things, you know,
he's credulous.
He's not incredulous. He's credulous, where he's like easily wants to believe the best. So he's smarter than that, but he doesn't listen to his own smarts.
That was also a pretty good bit to take Sasquatch and throw him in the nearest clone body you have around, which happens to be Summer. And so there's that weird moment.
And they only do that once.
Yes. And then they eventually establish a new one. I also like the game they're playing where just entire, not every episode has to have the whole family, you know? It's like, this is this kind of episode. It's almost like they're, and I wonder if they would use the same metaphor. It's almost like a Muppets thing. Like, not every Muppets sketch has to have the entire cast of Muppets.
Right. Nobody expects that. That'd be ridiculous, right?
Sometimes you could just have a whole sketch with Luke Skywalker and Rolf the dog.
Right. And nobody's going to be like, wait, Kermit wasn't in that sketch, because he's not in every sketch.
Well, and maybe I'm leaning into the Muppet metaphor because Kermit's voice also changed over time.
Oh yeah, true. And I thought once during the show how much I didn't care whether the voices sounded the same or not, because they sounded the same now.
That's totally gone for me. Yeah. I've totally let go of it. I can't tell the difference at all. So after watching this one, which I thought was good, I just couldn't help myself. I'm like, I feel like last week's was better. And then I went back and watched last week's, and I fell in love with the phrase at the very, very end in the post credits. He says, when Ice Cube comes beseeching help from the Alpha Beatrians and the Numericons, and Ice-T says, or she said, I forget what she says, but it's basically, we'll defend anyone. And then Ice-T says, my smoke show queen speaks truth. Now, I just want to keep calling my wife my smoke show queen.
How is she taking that?
You know what? She's preparing for the biggest two-week art festival of her entire year. So I haven't used it very much.
You haven't
yet.
Had a chance. You haven't had the opportunity to put it into full usage yet.
Not yet. But I look forward to it.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. No, these last two episodes are super strong. And I really enjoyed this. In fact, I'm not even sure how much I realized I enjoyed it till we were talking just now, and more things kept coming back to me that I was like, oh yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Which not every episode has been like that the past couple of seasons. Sometimes it doesn't feel like ever like a chore. I always look forward to it, but sometimes I feel like, oh, what was in that episode? I don't know if I remembered it.
Also, not for nothing, like that end, like at the end of last week's episode, the solution to save the day is to have an inspiring rap. After watching it last week's a second time, that's a damn fine rap. And I don't know.
Good, right? I thought so at the time when I heard it. I was like, okay, this isn't a throwaway. This is pretty good.
And it just keeps going, right? So there may be some language stuff here, and we may have to cut it if there's a copyright thing, but for fair use reasons only, imagine Star Wars, but it's letters and numbers coming together to defeat Infinity, who stole a Guga and is killing everyone. What? Oh, I'm logged in on the wrong thing. You know what? I'm not giving up on this. You guys got to hear this rap. It might be on YouTube, but I don't want to look there. Oh man, here, I guess I'll look for YouTube. Rick and Morty rap new no. Also, I felt terrible when I realized that he had snuck Dan Harmon, the writer who loves all the puns, snuck in the word beat into Alphabetrians and Americans. If you look at it in closed captioning, the word is number icons.
Oh.
And dialogues, like when they attack, they say, reduce them to zero, subtract them from the universe.
Oh, I caught that. I did catch that.
Let me see if anybody has this on YouTube. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Okay, here we go. This is the inspiring fact.
Why does a one hate an I? I gotta wonder when a lowercase I is an imaginary number.
Who stands to gain when I shoot up a digit? The division is complex, but you know we got a bridge.
You think you can stop me with rap?
Four homicides to the dodecahedron. Number V letters, the shit that it feeds on.
Today, alphanumerically combined, but GLOCK means my ice cold nine.
Letters and numbers, every time I fuck a hoe, giving her one big dick while she screams, ow!
Magna Q gets wet like she got a cry on. My dick feet from 1/4 feet, that's a python. Y'all like to scare, he ain't one yet. Affinity to one eye, that's an alphabet.
Father, you like a force ghost now?
The fuck it look like, son? I can't help you hand infinity his ass. You ready?
Let's kill it, Hobbs.
Infinity ain't shit without numbers and letters.
We can blow his ass out
if we work together. Rise up. Letters and numbers, I said rise up.
Cause you know we're all brothers.
Like it's good because it goes longer than it should, you know.
Well, it's good at the beginning because it's just like professional rappers who are very good at this, and they didn't phone it in. They like they did their best, and their best is amazing. The lyrics are within the realm of good rap that has been adapted to be a stupid pun, and then yep. They get punnier as they keep going, but they never let down. They never wink. They're always like executing at their top level. Is just brilliant.
So Ice-T is portrayed, is a caricature that is performed by Dan Harmon, right? The only actual Ice-T in there is
so that's Dan Harmon rapping.
Yes.
That's damn good.
So I
wasn't sure about that.
Yes. So here, let me give you this one. And again, more language incoming and possible copyright violations. But Harmontown. So he did Harmontown and he would freestyle rap. Sometimes he would just hit it just right. And it was really, truly magical. But the guy who plays Mr. Goldenfold is Brandon Sanderson. It's not. It's
I don't think it's Brandon Sanderson.
Brandon Johnson. Ah, Brandon Johnson. Yeah. Better. Because this is audio and I think we can get away with this. The on stage is Dan Harmon, the guy who wrote, you know, all this stuff. And next to him is Brandon Johnson, the voice of Mr. Goldenfold. In between them is the Scarlet Witch. What's her name? The third Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes, Elizabeth Olsen. And clearly they're friends because you can hear them building up this bit where they're going to do a freestyle rap. And off to the side, who never jumps in on this, but does for this bit, is Jeff Bryan Davis from Whose Line Is It Anyway? But the conceit they're doing is... remember, basically, you're talking about Sugar Hill Gang when they have you ever been having Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, and the chicken right. That tastes like wood.
Right. So exactly. So that's the bit.
Have you ever enjoyed a bowl of soup? And the next thing you know, your body starts to poop. You get diarrhea from this damn dish, and throwing up that soup is your wish.
Well, have you ever laughed in a song? Have you ever brought your mama along to the dream that we could have if we only believed in salve?
Everyone loves Sav. I gave Sav my autograph. Put that ointment on. Rub it on your body all night long. Ha 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 ha.
Ha, 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 ha. Well, have you ever been in the middle of a rap?
Yes.
And you didn't know what to say? Ha, ha, so the end of the rapping line, you just decided to lay it down a little.
So they go on to realize that they're pretty much sounding like Johnny Cash, and then they start... The end of it is they're well practiced in rapping.
Today, he heard himself today.
And if you listen closely, you heard me say, I try to laugh like I sound like I'm having fun, but I'm really.
Anyway, there's a lot of them out there, and they're very, very good. I think that's why that impressed me so much, is that that was a tight rap that they did.
Yeah, it was. It was pro. It was a pro level rap that they did. And there must have been good production involved, like people who know what they're doing involved. That's all I can say.
Take this. It's a prophecy or some S word. All right. Are we calling it?
All right. We love you all. Thanks, everyone, for supporting us. We'll talk to you soon.
Ha, 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 ha.
It's a wrap.